If you brought your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 is our text today, and I wish I did have the time to do a complete exposition of the book of James. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal book. I challenge you to go back and read it and reread it and study it, because it's just thick. It's thick with information to help you grow today in today's society. Today I want to talk to you about developing a faith that works is kind of the theme of the whole series. But today I want to talk to you about how to have real faith. James chapter 2. So I've lifted a portion of the text. I've lifted a portion of the scriptures for us to unpack today and study along together. Now I want you to look with me to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Verse 14 says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace and be warm and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But if someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works,' show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Verse 19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. What was it not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working in his works as well as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.' And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for this opportunity to be together as brothers and sisters, to unpack your word today, to study your word today, and to be encouraged by your word, to be challenged by your word today. God, I pray that you remove any obstacles standing in the way from us clearly hearing from you today, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, and responding to your calling on our lives today, Lord. And we do, Father, today, honor the mothers in this room and the ladies that have gone on before us, the moms that have gone on before us, the legacy that have left. Father, we honor them today, Father, because many of them were a true portrait of faith. Many of them stretched out budgets so the kids could eat. They stretched out materials so that they could be clothed. And God, thank you for the faith of our moms and the legacy that they left and that are leaving to us today. And Father, I pray as we unpack your word today, I pray that we walk away from this place completely, completely different, completely changed by your glorious grace here today. Lord, we love you, and we do thank you for what you're about to do in this room today. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. The truth that James is emphasizing in this text and the word of God teaches throughout is that what we do reveals actually who we are. What we do actually reveals who we are. That truth, of course, is the deepest and the most level possible of revelation that we can have. James is not speaking simply of beliefs and intentions in general, but the foundation of belief of saving faith. The genuineness of professing Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord is evidently more by what a person does than what he claims. There are a lot of people sitting in worship centers just like this, maybe larger, maybe smaller, maybe not as nicely decorated as this one, maybe more decorated than this one, but there's a lot of people that are sitting in worship centers today that proclaim that they are Christ followers, but their lifestyle is completely opposite of that. There's a lot of people that say that they are saved by his grace, but the evidence of their lifestyle proves otherwise. The genuineness of profession of faith is evident by what a person does, more by what he claims to be. A person who professes Christ but does not love in a Christ-honoring and Christ-obeying lifestyle simply is a fraud. My goodness, that's strong on your days out. Here. I thought I'd just go ahead and take the gloves off and let you know that these are not my words. These are what we have found, the revelation of what James is telling us. Brothers and sisters, we in this time, this day and age, we need to stand firm on what the Word of God is. And if we're going to say, thus saith the Lord, then we need to know what the Lord doth saith. If we're going to stand and say, we believe the Word of God, then we must live the Word of God. If we're going to proclaim to be Christ followers, then let's act like we're Christ followers in every aspect of our life. Twice in chapter 2, James describes such faith as being dead in verse 17 as well as in verse 26. A person with dead faith does not and cannot produce works that are truly good and righteous, and the absence of such works is evidence in the absence of saving faith. The New Testament repeats this all the way through. Matthew chapter 3 verse 7 through 9. Listen to what John the Baptist is saying. Saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism. And he said to them, now this is a guy you want on your deacon body right here, John the Baptist. He says, you brood of vipers. Boy, that's how he win friends and influence people right there. Amen. Isn't he a nice guy? He calls them straight out. He says, you brood of vipers, you who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose you can say to yourselves, we have the able to rise up children to Abraham. You cannot count on your heritage or salvation, no matter how great it may be. He is saying, if you truly trust God, you and belong to him, you will give evidence by repenting of your lifestyle and repenting of your sins and living righteously. Now, gather in here close. That's not to say that you're going to live a sinless, perfected life. I'm not saying that. We are all sinners saved. We are all sinners saved by his glorious grace. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. We've fallen short of the glory of God. Why? Because all the way back to Genesis, here we go, women. All the way back to Genesis, the fruit story takes place. And you led us down that road and we succumbed to that pressure. And the whole sin thing took place. And throughout all of history, that's what's been taking place. So we are sinners saved by his glorious grace. But folks, let me tell you something. There is a vast majority of people in this world today that stand up and say, I am a born again Christian on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock worship hour, yet walk out the doors of that worship center and live contrary to what they have just said. It is time that we start living out our faith. If we truly trust God and belong to him, you will give evidence by repenting your sin and living righteously. Calling themselves a brood of vipers, he called them brood of vipers, but made it clear that their lives were anything but righteous and that their profession of faith was therefore completely dead. I just love John the Baptist because he just spoke truth. He didn't go to committee. He didn't ask what the rest of the deacons were going to say. He said it outright. You brood of vipers, he called them out. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said something so beautifully. He goes all the way down and says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your bad works. No, your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And later in the text, Jesus explains, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Let me tell you something, church. It is time for us to put into action what we say is residing in the inner core of our life. We must stand up and not only proclaim Jesus is Lord, but we live out like Jesus is Lord. If you want to reach Fairburn, Georgia, it is time for us to stand up and declare that Jesus is indeed Lord, and then indeed live out like he is Lord of your life. When he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Now, I'm not talking about working out your salvation here, folks. I'm not talking that you work out your salvation, but we can go to Ephesians chapter 2, and it tells us that we are created as workmanships created in Christ Jesus. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Nicodemus understood this, leading a Pharisee came to Jesus. He was a leading Pharisee. He came to Jesus by night. That's the first program called Nick at Night. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, you'll get that about lunchtime, by the way. He came to him and says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs than you do unless God is with him. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus made it crystal clear. No matter how sincere it may be, mere knowledge of the truth about him does not constitute spiritual rebirth. There are a lot of people that know about Jesus, but there's a lot of people that are going to bust hell knowing about Jesus wide open. They're going to bust it wide open because they truly don't have Jesus. They're not living out their faith. A true disciple of Jesus Christ will obey his word, period. He doesn't just take parts of it. He obeys his word, and continually disobedient life is proof of a false discipleship and dead faith. That meaning, those people that come ever so often and do something about church and then go about their merry way. Church, let me tell you something. The word of God is crystal clear about that. And for us not to handle it accurately and handle it truthfully, we are watering down the word of God. That's why the world is in such a mess. That's why Rick Warren said it so beautifully. The reason why the Christian church in North America is simply on the decline, and it is, statistically, the North American church is on the decline. And when asked, Dr. Warren, pastor of Great Saddleback Church in California, they said, Dr. Warren, why do you think the Christian church in North America is on the decline? He said, well, simply put, they've never met a Christian, or they've met a Christian. What an indictment to the church. Folks, let me tell you something. If we're going to call ourselves born again, and we are living by faith in Christ Jesus, then let's live by faith at the marketplace. Let's live by faith at the athletic complex. Let's live by faith in our own homes, in our own streets, not just when we come in this wonderful surroundings like this beautiful worship center. It goes on to say in John chapter 15, you know, right after I came here, I preached a message called the Vine Series right out of John 15. And we unpacked several verses for several weeks. And Christ used this similar figure of speech in that vineyard passage when he says, I'm the way, I am the vine, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. Brothers and sisters, are you truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you proclaim to be that, is there proof evidence of that? And one of the beauty parts about doing what I do in ministry, when I do have these weeks where you have a prospective pastor to come in, I get to evaluate myself a little bit. And I get to worship somewhere else. And I had the privilege of worshiping at my church. And they were shocked to see me. Who are you? I had to fill out a guest card to get in the door. It's funny, I fill out a guest card, but they cash my tithe check every week. What is up with that? But I walked in there and I saw my pastor, Matt Mason. What a delightful young man. What a great, great teacher of the word. And we had a phenomenal time of worship and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And it was just a phenomenal time of celebration. And I was sitting there in the worship center at our church. And I was sitting there looking around all these people and like, who are you? I've been here since 93. Who are all you new people, man? How'd y'all get in there? And I'm just sitting there in basking in this wonderful worship gathering. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, it's pretty good not to be preaching, right? About halfway through the sermon, I said, well, I think I could have handled that a little bit better. No, I did not say that. I did not say that. I promise you, I did not say that. But I enjoyed sitting there because I could just sense and watch my pastor, Pastor Matt, that dear brother. I watched it on his face. Here's a man who believes John 15. Here's a man that has riveted John 15. Here's a man who has real faith unpacking God's word. The profession of faith that produces no sanctification is dead faith. True believers not only are themselves God's workmanship, as Paul says, as I said a moment ago, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We have a great need in the church today for clarity of acknowledgement of gospel facts and being true, sufficient of salvation and living out our faith. Clearly changed people in action changes lives of other people. When we are completely sold out by faith, we will see God work in a mighty, mighty way. In verses 21 through 26, James contrasts living faith with dead faith, saving faith with non-saving faith, productive faith with non-productive faith, godly faith with a kind of faith that is exercised even by the demons. In doing so, he does what is expected, giving an illustration of living faith. First with Adam, revered patriarch of the church, father of the Hebrew people. And second, Rahab, the Gentile prostitute. Martin Luther, the great reformer, adamantly opposed the Roman Catholic dogma of salvation by works, strongly defending that salvation was by grace through faith alone. And so I have two questions for us to answer here today. What is real faith? How do we have real faith? And I have two questions to answer for us. The first question is this: who's right? James or the Apostle Paul? Who's right? Both of them. Both of them. Paul says it best: for by grace you've been saved through faith for that life of good works which God has prepared, be already prepared in us. And then James reiterates by saying faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. So it's for by grace, it's by grace through faith for good works. So both of them are right. James is just driving the point home that if you're going to stand up and say you've got grace and you've got faith and yet you are not acting on your works, then it is dead. And I'm here to tell you, we have a whole society of young Christians that feel like they don't have to do anything. They're saved by God's grace and they're going to sit there and that's God's business. And we absolutely believe that it's God's business to do all the saving. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 28, go, therefore, it's an action word, as you go. So we should enact our faith. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're going to reach Fairburn, guess what? They're not all just going to show up here on this campus. We got to get out into the marketplace with our faith, by grace, through faith, for good works. So you tie them all together. That answers the first question. Who's right, Paul or John? Well, both of them are. The second question, and I'm going to be quick and we're going to be done in just a few minutes, so buckle up. What is real faith? I think before we understand what real faith is, I think we need to understand what faith is not. Real faith is not just something you say. Not my words, but the word of God, James chapter 2, verse 14. What is it then, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save him? Now, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, working out our faith does not save us, but it demonstrates the faith and saving grace in our lives. So you can stand up and say you're a Christian. I can walk into your garage and say I'm a Ford automobile, but no, I'm not. I can stand up and declare that I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, but no, I'm not. Hallelujah. All you Tech fans love that, don't you? All you Auburn fans really love it, amen? Real faith is not just something that you say. Real faith is not just something you feel. It's not a warm fuzzy inside you. Look what the word says, not my words, James's words, the epistle. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You say, wait a minute, we have a food pantry. We give a lot of food away. Well, hallelujah. I am so thrilled for you. We give some clothes away. I am so thrilled for you. Food and clothing are necessities. Thank God for clothing. Amen. Somebody asked me, he said, well, what do you think about that new preacher that's going to Fairburn? I said, I don't really know him. I've talked to him on the phone a couple of months ago. Seemed like a delightful young man. They said, you think he's going to get voted in? I said, I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, if the boy comes in there with clothes on and opens the word and absolutely preaches the book, he'll get voted in. If he comes in there naked, they're going to probably not vote him in. So thank God he had clothes on. Amen. But folks, let me tell you something. Real faith is not a feeling. We could talk about how great we do here and all the food. I praise God and I want you to give more food away. We want to do that. But the most important food we give them is the Word of God. The food will feed them and nourish them. The clothing will make them look better. Amen. And make our eyes look better. But the word of God will radically change their life. And if we do not stand and proclaim the word, I mean daily, weekend, not just an event every now and then and go hang a door hanger on and hope they come at Easter. I'm talking about an ongoing relationship going out into the community saying we're going to witness to this community. Folks, it's time for us to not have that feeling. Real faith is not just something you feel, not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you think. It's not just a thought pattern. Verse 18, but some may say, someone may well say, if you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. You can't just think it. You got to do something about your faith. It's not something you just say, not just something you feel, not just something you think. It's not even real faith. It's not just something you believe. You believe that God is one? Yeah, hallelujah. We all do that. You do well. But guess what? The demons also believe. They also believe. Not my words. These are James' words, not my words. I'm just proclaiming what the word says. And they shudder, but they believe. You don't think that Satan did not know that when it was written that you cannot be plucked out of his hand? He was there when it was written. He was there when it was around, folks. Let me tell you something. If you are truly saved by his glorious grace and faith in him, you cannot lose your salvation. Because if you could, you could earn it, and you can't earn it because it's a free gift. But folks, let me tell you something. Just believing that he's Lord is not acting out your faith. So, faith is not something you say, something you feel, something you think, something you believe. Real faith is something you do. It's something you do. Not just halfway faith, but real faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Let me ask you something. Have you had a spiritual checkup from the heart up lately? Have you really just examined yourself? Have you really just said, God, am I really, truly saved? I do this quite frequently. I just say, Lord, I just want to make sure that I know that I am, but I just want to make sure. I want to see. I don't want to have that warm, fuzzy feeling anymore. I want to know. You know how the way I know that I am really, really, really saved by His glorious grace is when I'm really, really, really activating my faith to the world. Not just in the pulpit, but out there amongst the folk. Folks, real faith is something you do. James is not saying you work your way to heaven. He's not saying works delivers salvation, but I've written it out. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. It's demonstrated by what we do. So I've got a couple of questions for you, and I want you to fill in the blanks on your own. Am I really a Christian? Yes or no? Are you? If you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are a Christ follower and you are working out your faith, hallelujah. Second question is, what changes can I point to my life to prove that? This week in my study this week, that's one of the questions I asked. Now I've been saved since I was 17 years old, but I said, if I'm going to ask my dear friends over in Fairburn that question, I better ask it myself. Am I truly saved? And I came to the determination, yep. Well, what can you see? What can you point to that really is a changed life? And I had several markers in my life. Is that lifestyle any different than someone that is not a Christ follower? Do you act like the rest of the world? See, I think every now and then we need to have a self-evaluation. Amen. We need to have a spiritual checkup from the heart up. Well, let me tell you something in closing. The last statement, God's hand of grace reaching down to your hand of faith is truly salvation. Saved by grace through faith to do exactly what God made you to do in the first place. So faith is not something you say. It's not something you feel. It's not something you think. It's not something you truly just believe. Faith is something you do. It's demonstrated by what you do. The question begs today, are you acting out real faith? If not, won't you join me here at the altar and let's pray? You don't even have to talk to me or any of the other pastors. But just come to the altar and ask God to cleanse and purify your life and set you back on course. There's nothing wrong with that. A course correction for us to understand that we are saved by grace through faith for good works.